Does God hate women? Does he love men more than he does women? Well, these may seem like strange questions to ask about God, but they are actual questions that we've received. So stay with us to find out what God's Word says about this issue and many others as well.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
We welcome you to another edition of the Question and Answer program with our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. This is a ministry of the Through the Bible Radio Network. Our first question of the day comes to us from St. John's, Michigan. The listener writes, our Bible study group is going through the book of Revelation, and we came to a question that we need some assistance in answering. Is the church, the body of Christ, going to be caught up before the Great Tribulation?
Now, that is the belief of many of us today. We are known as pre-trib and premillennialists. Now this party goes on to say, is it caught away before the tribulation? Some say the church will see part of the tribulation or all of it. Yes, there are those today that are known as mid-tribulationists. They believe that the church goes through one half of that seven-year period of Daniel, the 70th week of Daniel. And there are others that believe that the church will go through that entire period. In fact, in reference to the tribulation period, there are the pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib interpretations that are given today. And there are many of us that we accept the pre-tribulation viewpoint. Now, we need to understand that the Bible makes it very clear that regardless of whether you are in the church or in the nation Israel or in any period in the history of the world, that you're going to have trouble. Man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. And sparks always fly upward according to a law of dynamics. And people of the human family, since sin has come into the world, as long as we're in the world, we're going to have trouble. The Lord Jesus said to the believers, in the world you're going to have trouble, or tribulation, as the word is translated there. Now, that's one thing, and the church will have trouble. It's always had trouble, has trouble today, will continue to have trouble. But to try to articulate that or synchronize that trouble that is predicted for all as the great tribulation period is to do a great injustice to the Word of God, then it would actually reduce language to that which would be meaningless. The Lord Jesus made it very clear that there was coming the great tribulation period. And when it's mentioned in the book of Revelation, it's called the tribulation, the great one. And that is a tremendous emphasis, and it's the same one the Lord Jesus mentioned, the great tribulation. Now, it stands out as being a time of trouble, and it was predicted in the Old Testament. There'd come a time of trouble, nothing like it before, nothing like it afterward. Now, since it's that kind of trouble, you just could not play it down and put it on the same basis as the fact that we have trouble in the world today. We have trouble. That's a characteristic of humanity, and the church does not avoid that by any means. We have trouble. Probably the saints suffer more than other people do in the world, but that is not the great tribulation that's predicted in the Word of God. That's something altogether different. And I wish today that we could get over to folk that you can't play down the Great Tribulation period and make it mean some crisis experience that we go through down here. One British Bible teacher, a very fine one too, by the way, he thinks that they went through the Great Tribulation or started when the Germans blitzed Great Britain. Well, he told about the trouble he was having there, and he did. And I'll admit that it was terrible. But I wasn't going through it. I wasn't going through the Great Tribulation period at all. And there were millions of others that were not, of course. The Great Tribulation is predicted as being worldwide, something not like it before nor after. It's a peculiar period of time, and the church has promised definitely they'll be delivered from it. And that ought to be clear. And this party says that they've been studying on it, and we are delighted to make this contribution to it. And they ask about a book that we have on it. I have several books that would deal with this, little booklets. One is called The Antichrist. And then I have one, What Can Believers Do in Days of Apostasy? We're in days of apostasy today, but that's not the Great Tribulation. And then I have also a little book on the next happening in the program of God, which we attempt to show the church will not go through the Great Tribulation. And if you'd like to send for our book list, why, you can order it, and we'd be delighted to send it to you if you're interested further in this question.
Our next question comes from a listener in Camden, New Jersey, who writes, is there any distinction between the temple and the synagogue?
Yes, there's a great difference, although that word is being used today by the Jews to certain of their synagogues, especially if they are prominent, that is, large ones, and have a great many wealthy followers. It's called the temple so-and-so. But actually, the word temple, from the Bible viewpoint, applied to, first of all, to Solomon's temple that was built in Jerusalem that supplanted the tabernacle. And that was the place where Israel was to worship. Now, when that temple was destroyed, others were built to replace it, and there's yet to be. I think there's to be a tribulation temple that's going to be built there. And then I think that there will be on the earth in the millennium a temple, and probably one that'll go through eternity that will be here on the earth. Now, that's the temple. Now, a synagogue is that which grew up during the captivity. You see, these people were scattered. The Babylonians scattered them pretty well, and only a remnant returned back to Jerusalem, although three times a year they came up to the temple at Jerusalem. But you see, being scattered then later throughout the Roman Empire, it'd be impossible for them to get to Jerusalem, that is, many of them, even three times a year, so that there grew up the synagogue. Actually, it means a coming together. I go to lead and soon with or together. It was a coming together of the people in scattered areas for the purpose of carrying on the Old Testament worship. And, of course, it changed radically over the years, but to continue to carry on the worship so that the synagogue is one thing and the temple is something altogether different.
Moving on, we come to a question from a listener in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, who writes, Psalm 69, verse 28 says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Is this the same book of life that is mentioned in Revelation 20, verse 12?
I don't think that it's as important as a great many attaching to it. The only thing's important is to make sure that your name and my name is in the Lamb's book of life. And that's the thing that concerns me. And I believe that there is the book of the living, that is, those that are in Adam's line. Now, they are the ones that I think, are transferred to the book of life. And both of them would be a book of life, one of physical life, Adamic life, one of spiritual life. And that would be the difference in the two books. And I think that you have them there in Revelation 20, verse 12, and there's the Lamb's book of life. And that crowd's already been raised from the dead and have left, but the Lord is fair. He lets them see it, whether their name is there. I want to add something else to that, and I feel that we can't be dogmatic about this that I suggested that puzzles this individual. I do think we need to make a distinction between the book in which there was a danger being written out. I think that in the Lamb's book of life, there are those that are in the church. The other book of life is that of physical life, and when a person has turned his back on God, has not accepted Christ, and has not turned to God at all, then his name is blotted out. And I think there's going to be a lot of blotting out of names that are in the book of the living, because we all get in that book. That is the thought that had come to me as I began to study this and found that many of the great men of the church, of the early church, that they took that position. And it seems to be more consistent with the way it's stated in the Scripture. And I spent some time with that before, and I'm not going into it again, other than just to suggest this, that we have to use a computer here at the radio headquarters, and they have it so that the girls who read letters do not have to go back and look on a book, or the files of the computer have to be checked. They have a screen up here, and they can push certain buttons. I don't know anything about it. All I know is that if you are on our mailing list, and your name can be brought up on that screen, and if you're on the mailing list, and your address and all the information we have on you will be right on that screen. And I thought, my, that's the way it's going to be. I think someday something like that, the Lord push a button or two and say to this man that's been a member of the church and a good giver, and he's also tried to be a good boy, but he never thought he needed Christ, never recognized he's a sinner. All the Lord does, pushes a button and just say to him, your name's not here. You never did trust Christ. And then I think he'll be permitted to present his case. I think that it'll be right on the screen there. I think God will record all the good that he's supposed to have done and then show him that as he stands in the presence of a holy God, how far short he comes. Now, I recognize I drew on my imagination there to a certain extent, but it has to be something like that someday. And so that would explain these two books and how you could be erased from one of them.
A listener in Dayton, Ohio, sent us this letter. He writes, "Did Jesus drink real wine, and was it real wine he made at the wedding when he performed the miracle of turning the water into wine?"
And let me very briefly go over this again. He did not turn it into intoxicating drink. And you say, how do you know that? For several reasons. Now there is studies being made that have revealed that the Jews had a system, a formula, whereby they could bottle wine and they would bury it in the ground so it would not be affected by temperature, and it would not ferment. And it would be unbelievable that an Israelite on the time of the Passover, where you were to drink this cup and eat this bread, what kind of bread was it that they were told to eat and it was spelled out? Well, that bread was unleavened bread. Now, do you think that they would be permitted to have leaven in their drink? Of course not. What is the turning of grape juice into wine, that is, to intoxicating wine? What is it? It is the working of leaven. And it would be highly inconsistent on one hand to eat unleavened bread and drink leavened drink. That's what wine that's intoxicating would be. And of course, yonder in the upper room at the Passover, they ate unleavened bread. I think everybody would agree to that. But what about the wine? Well, it was not intoxicating. And the Lord, at this wedding where they'd gotten rid of all the comets, all the leaven that was there for the service, do you think that the Lord Jesus would be the one to lug it in the wine? Of course not. And it was new wine to begin with. Wouldn't have had a chance to ferment it. He just made it. So I don't think that you could say that it's that. And I think the thing that caused these people to marvel was that here is something that they say, well, this is the best we've ever tasted. Why? For the very simple reason that they thought, many of them, that it would have to be intoxicating to be good. And for their ceremonies, like unleavened bread, they had unleavened grape juice, unleavened wine, which would be the fruit of the vine. And it would not be intoxicating. And therefore, the Lord did not make any intoxicating drink.
Our next question comes to us from Westminster, California. The listener writes, what will be the function of the Holy Spirit in eternity? And if all those who are converted during the tribulation are martyred, except for the 144,000, and only saved persons go into the millennium, then who goes into the millennium in human form?
Well, you apparently have a misconception of what the Great Tribulation period is going to be. Everyone will not be martyred during that period. A great many people take that position now because of the terrible extent of the persecution. But you will recall that in Elijah's day, Elijah thought he was the only one that was left, that was standing for God. And he made that statement that he alone, and God reminded him that there were about 5,000 hidden away up in the hills and mountains that were his men also. Now, why they were hiding away and not standing with Elijah, I don't know, but that was the position they took, and apparently the Lord didn't condemn them for it. That was the only way they could survive. And I take it that during the Great Tribulation period that they're going to be a great company. In fact, there'll be a great many nations that are actually going to enter the millennium because of the fact that they apparently go along with the Antichrist, that is, the nation as such, but in the nation, there'll be those that will not have gone along with Antichrist. There'll be multiplied folk like that. I actually believe today that there are many secret believers. Now, I hate to say that because it all boils down to one point, and that's cowardice will not take a stand for the Lord. Now, somebody says, well, why are they saved? Well, they've trusted Christ. And somebody says, well, they ought to do this and that. Well, I recognize that, but they don't. But they have trusted Christ. So I don't think we can actually take a position of just ruling out everyone during that period, which you've done. Now, coming back to your first question, the thought that apparently you had in mind was that everybody that was going to be converted has been converted, and when you enter eternity, evangelism has gone out of style because men have made their decision for eternity. And you have one group one place and one another. But I suppose that he'll take his place in the Godhead and will continue to function as God. I would assume that that would be a reasonable conclusion to come to. That has not been pointed out to us definitely in the Word of God because I think that we are supposed to use good common sense in many places in the Word of God. I feel like today one of the things that a great many folk do not bring to the Bible, which they bring to every other situation in life. I know many people that are very practical. The old folk used to say when I was a boy, they have a great deal of consecrated gumption, yet they come to the Word of God, and they are not willing to bring it to bear, that the Bible is a very reasonable book, and you're supposed to use good common sense in many places.
Our final question comes from a concerned listener in Linwood, California. She writes, "Does God love women like he loves men? It makes me sad to see such little attention given to women in the Bible. I love God in Christ, and it pains me to think that he does not love me as much as he does men."
Well, I'm amazed that you asked a question like that for the very simple reason that there appears in Scripture so much that has to do with women. At the very beginning, God created Adam and Eve. And if you read the record, it seems that he gave more attention to the creation of woman. When you read the record, he gave more attention to the creation of woman than he did a man. And woman plays a great deal as a prominent part in the history of the race. Two books of the Bible in the Old Testament are named for them. They play a very important part. Abraham would not have been very much, and certainly if it hadn't been for Sarah. And you find that goes all the way through the Scripture. I feel that you have been listening maybe to Women's Lib and haven't been listening to the Word of God. Notice what the Scripture says, God so loved the world. And that is the world of people. And that means both men and women. Boys and girls means everyone. And when the word man is used, and it is used in many places, it is the generic term anthropos. Anthropology is the study of the human race. It doesn't mean just man, it means men and women. And when it says in several places in Scripture where the emphasis is put upon man, it means both men and women. The generic term is used. Now, in order to please these women libbers, I guess that the thing to do would be to probably put in those places Mr. and Ms. That would be the thing that probably would satisfy some of these folk. I don't know. My thought is that we have a great deal of attention, and that argument was used in the time of the suffragettes. I have not even heard the women libbers emphasize that because they're not much interested in the Bible today. They're more concerned about things that seem to me to be way out in left field rather than to be interested in what I think women should be interested in. And believe me, if they're not interested in raising children, who's going to raise them? They're very prominent, and when they put such an emphasis on abortion today, it looks like women want to go out of the business of bringing children into the world. They want sex for no other purpose than pleasure, and they're willing to murder the offspring. It seems to me that we've had an abnormal emphasis placed today, and which is certainly non-biblical or unbiblical. It's contrary to the Word of God, because the Word of God gives a prominent place to women. I must confess, I do not really understand your question, or rather why you ask a question like that. I believe if you were familiar with the Word of God, you would see that there's a great emphasis placed upon women, and God loves the woman as much as he does the man.
As we come to the close of today's broadcast, we'd like to remind you that we have a number of excellent materials that can be used to assist you in your understanding of God's Word. To learn more about these materials, go to our website. Our online bookstore is there, or you can always call our offices to speak to one of our service operators. You know, one resource that you might find helpful is a CD copy of today's program. Having this broadcast in the CD format is really a great way to pass it on to others, or just to have it in your audio library for future listening. And by the way, Dr. McGee mentioned several booklets in one of his responses today. Two of those, The Rapture Comes Next and What Can Believers Do in Days of Apostasy, can still be purchased in the booklet format. The other one, Who is Antichrist, unfortunately is no longer in print. However, all of these items are available as free e-booklet downloads in the resources page of our website. Just go to ttb.org. Be sure to join us this week on the Through the Bible radio program that can be heard on this station every Monday through Friday. We'll be continuing our five-year journey through the whole Word of God, book by book and chapter by chapter. We provide notes and outlines for these studies when you ask to be on our mailing list for our monthly newsletter and the broadcast schedule. To contact our offices to purchase any of our resources, ask to be on the mailing list, or just to express your interest in the ongoing work of Through the Bible, call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Do it Monday through Thursday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Or write to Questions and Answers in the U.S., Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Or find us online at ttb.org. This is Steve Schwetz with the prayer that God will answer all your questions and solve all your problems. This program has been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.